1 Corinthians chapter 3. I consider it an honor to be part of God's plan this morning. As I bring you this message, I need to give you just a little bit of background. I want to begin a series this morning that I've entitled No Other. The Bible has several No Other statements in it. No Other cornerstone, no other foundation, no other name, no other power, no other hope. And several months ago, I'm not even sure now how long ago, I saw a simple picture that had the words, kind of like the picture in front of you now, the word no other in the center, and then around it, those statements and scripture that coordinated with it. And I remember looking at it and thinking, that'll preach. I believe I could do something with that. And I just copied the picture down and copied it off the computer and put it in a little file on my computer that I keep just random ideas for future reference. And I kept going back to it, thinking I'm gonna preach that series. And every time I would go to it and try to calculate in the dates and think about when I was going to do it, something it just for whatever reason didn't work. And so I kept thinking about it. I kept going back to it, looking at it, and looking at the scripture, and kept trying to figure out when will that work? Well, when can I preach that? I really like that idea, and I want to preach it. And I kept pushing it off and pushing it off. And sometime back in the month of May, when I was doing a little planning and thinking, I penciled it in to begin this morning with this statement that the Bible says, as Paul says here. In 1 Corinthians, that there is no other foundation. And I had no idea of the events that would take place, or no idea whatsoever of the environment, the climate that would be going on and lead up to this Sunday. I really wasn't even thinking about it leading in to July the 4th week. But now, as I see how it all came together, I understand why that I didn't preach it several months ago, and why we are here this morning. And so this morning, as we look at this text, again, it wasn't planned or prepared in any way, response to the events of the week, but it is in response. It's God's response. It is, I think, a good reply without calling names or pointing fingers. It is, I believe, a good response for our church, for us to hear this morning. In light of not only the Supreme Court decision, but the simple fact of what's going on across our nation outside of that. As Todd Marlow put on the internet this week, some of you may remember Todd. For many years he was pastor at Odell. Todd is, some of you went to school with Todd. Todd is over at a church in Charlotte this week, and he made the comment that I think is very accurate, that the events of this week are not the result of the Supreme Court. The events of this week are the result of the church losing its authority and power and standing in our culture. That we have become weak, and that is the root of the problem, is that we have strayed, we have left our biblical foundation. We have left where God has called us to be. Paul was writing to a church in Corinth, to the Corinthian Christians that were in largely that same situation. They were, even early in the church. The church has only been in business now for 20 or 30 years, not very long, and they're already having problems. They're already having divisions. They're already dividing up about who they're going to follow. They're already having doctrinal issues, and they're already struggling to find the way. They're dividing up, and Paul mentions earlier in this chapter that some are wanting to follow Paul, and some are wanting to follow Apollos, even though they're teaching the same thing, but just division anyway. And Paul gets down here in verse 11, and he makes this statement that there is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And he really kind of answers all of our questions moving forward with that simple statement. There is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And When we look at that, I will tell you quickly that I am not a contractor. I can kind of look at it and tell you if you do it wrong, but to go do it myself. Now, I don't know what that makes me. That makes me a building inspector, doesn't it, Tommy? Or a fire inspector, right? That's what that makes me. That makes me an inspector. But I grew up around a carpenter. I grew up around a good carpenter, very conscientious and detailed carpenter. One of the things that I learned from my father is the value, the importance of a good foundation. That the foundation determines everything. That no matter what else you build, if you do the foundation wrong, your building will not stand. It cannot stand. It's just a matter of time. It may stand for a while. It may look beautiful for a while. But eventually, if the foundation is wrong, the building will fall. You can use the best materials in the world, but if the foundation is wrong, eventually it will crumble. It is just a matter of time. And I remember, again, going back, and I think about foundation. I remember learning the hard way the value of a good foundation. I think sometimes my father spent longer laying out the foundation than he did building the building. Measure this corner to that corner, that end to that end, that side to that side, top to bottom to top, every direction. Now, go to the next door neighbors and measure theirs just in case. I mean, there was, measuring went on everywhere. Pull the strings, get out the level, all the stuff. And no work had actually been done yet. Putting the stakes in the ground, putting the frames at the corners, all those things before any digging was ever done. And then you went in and began to dig the footing. And from that point, it was, again, measure and level and calculate and go back and refigure and redo. And for a young fellow, one of the stupidest things I can ever remember doing is sweeping dirt. I never quite registered in my young brain that when we got done digging the foundation, that you got in there with a broom and you swept the bottom of it. There couldn't be any loose gravel, loose dirt, twigs, nothing in the bottom of that foundation. It had to be cleaned out, and then it had to be remeasured to make sure you didn't mess anything up. And it had to be remeasured. And then finally, after all that, then the concrete could come. And the concrete had to be done in just the right way. And it had to be leveled out. I mean, it wasn't. I've seen a lot of foundations poured now, and they just dumped the concrete and let it run. Well, that wasn't good enough. It had to be thawed out. It had to be, it had to be perfect. Everything about that foundation had to be perfect. And so I learned at an early age that the value of a good foundation, that your foundation had to be right. And I can tell you that I never remember in my life, it may have happened, my mother, she's older than me, can verify for sure, I never remember my father ever being called back to repair one of his houses. It just didn't happen. They were built right from the first spade of dirt to the last shingle. It was done correctly from top to bottom. And so I learned the value of a good foundation. And Paul says in verse 11, here in our text verses, he says, there's no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so he tells us here that we have a good foundation. He tells us what the foundation is. And so when we look at this text, the first thing we need to understand is the substance of the foundation. Paul makes it very clear that our life, our work, our church, that everything is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's not built on a ruling by court. It's not built on popular culture. It's not built on what everybody else says. It's right. It's not even built on what mama or grandma says. What Paul makes very clear to us is that everything is built on Jesus Christ. That's what everything comes back to. One of the other things that I learned at an early age about a foundation is something very simple. Anybody that has ever been on any kind of construction at all will tell you this. When you walk up, and I remember this, one example as a young kid growing up, rambling the neighborhood, back when it was still safe to do that, rambling the neighborhood. Matter of fact, you can literally see the house in the wintertime when the trees are off the leaves, or whichever way that works at your house. When the leaves are off the trees, from my back porch, I can still see this house. There was a house in our neighborhood, I remember being built. And when I remember when they started digging the foundation as kids, there was tractors and stuff, and you know, we were curious what they were doing, and we wanted to go watch, and we went up there, and they literally dug a circle in the ground. And some of the other kids, you know, their daddies were truck drivers and things. They didn't understand that. They couldn't figure out what they were doing. And I remember just because, you know, again, not because I'm a contrarian, because I had been around it. I said, I know what they're doing. It's going to be a round house. Thank you, Kate. Yeah, it was going to be a round house, or it was going to fall down. One of the two. If you put in a round foundation, then you're going to build a round house. Put in a square foundation, it's going to be a square house. You're going to put in a rectangular foundation, it's going to be a rectangular house, or it's going to fall down. That's just simple construction. You know, it may not fall down tomorrow. It may not fall down next week, but it will fall down. It will have problems if your house is not built on the right foundation. And so Paul tells us here that the foundation of everything is Jesus Christ. The foundation of life, the foundation of church, the foundation of marriage, the foundation of anything comes back to Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean, and I may be getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but it doesn't mean you can't build it some other way. But it means if you build it in any way other than the foundation in which Christ laid, it will not stand the test of time. It will fall. It is like building on sinking sand. Folks, there are churches all over America today who are not built on Jesus Christ. They will not stand. There are churches this morning who are celebrating the Supreme Court decision this morning. There are pastors who are celebrating that decision this morning in this community, not too many miles from here. I can take you there if you don't believe me. But I want to tell you something. You can celebrate it, you can practice it, but if you build it any way other than on the foundation that Jesus Christ said, and I'm not just talking about marriage, I'm talking about your life. If you build it in any way other than on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it will crumble. I was in the last few weeks, and I've got to be careful how I go there. I don't want to get myself or someone else in trouble. We have, as I hope most of you know, that we are blessed to have a counseling center that is funded by your offering every week, or at least partially funded, and we have Christian counselors there. And in light of what we knew was what was going on, I sat down this week, a few weeks ago, with one of our counselors, and asked that question. I said, I need to know, moving forward, how you counsel. Yeah, I need to know what kind of counsel you're going to give to in marriage and couples. I need to know your theology. And we talked about it a moment. And here was the thing. There was this doesn't break any privacy laws. No names were exchanged. But the statement was made. Right now, I'm counseling someone who is dealing with depression. They also happen to be homosexual. And my question was, well, wait a minute now, then, let's say, you know, in dealing with that, do you ever point out that, hey, maybe the reason you're depressed is because you're going against the clear Word of God? And she said, absolutely. She said, I don't counsel theology, so that's your job. You know, but I counsel the issue, and the underlying problem may be your theology. In other words, if you build your life, any section of it, whether it's your work life, whether it's this church, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your parenting skills, if you build it on anything other than the clear foundation that God has laid out in His Word, it will not work. He says there is one foundation. That's it. I know we live in a multicultural world. I know we live in a world where everything is okay. I'm everywhere except being a Christian. I know we live in a world where, anything goes, whatever you believe, whatever you want to do. It was an advertising jingle once upon a time, and it has become a lifestyle. If it feels good, do it. But I just want to remind you of something. A little African-American lady told me one time, she said, everything that's good to you ain't good for you. Let that one sink in. If it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word, it'll fail. Sooner or later, it'll fail. Now, I want to hastily point out something that Paul says that I'll be perfectly honest with you, I'd never noticed in this text. We make two bad mistakes we make in studying Scripture, and I'm as guilty as anybody. We'll leave it in a vacuum. We'll find one verse, and we'll hang on to it for dear life. I mean, we'll memorize one verse. And we'll take that one verse and we'll just rip it right off the page in spite of everything else the Bible says. In spite of even the context in which that verse comes out of. Forget the whole Bible. Just even the few verses around it. I know many of you cling to and love your King James Version. Great. Let me make one suggestion. Regardless of what version you read, get you a new version just to see how the verses are broke down. Because most of our new translations do this. They will break down, they'll break down the Scripture into paragraphs to kind of show you what goes together. For example, if you were looking at a newer translation of the passage we're looking at, it would have the first four verses of chapter 3 set together. It would have the next about 10 verses set together. It puts it so you're less likely to go, see that verse? It makes it where you're more likely to read the whole thing. The other bad mistake we do with Scripture is sometimes we read it like a hostage letter. You ever seen that? You read this verse, and that verse, and that three words out of that verse, and a couple of words, and then we put them all together to make our theology. So it sounds something like this. And every one of these are Bible verses. They're just in the hostage letter format. Judas went out and hung himself. Go ye therefore and do likewise. And what you do, do quickly. That's the way some folks read the Bible. They read, others just zero in on one verse. You ever known anybody who had one verse theology their whole life going on one verse? Well, I've got to be honest with you here, I've missed one. Because Paul says there's no other foundation. But look what he says in verse 12. Not only do we have to consider the foundation's substance, but we have to consider the future of the structure. Look what Paul says when we look at the next verse, verse 12. Paul says, for any man can build. As he says in that verse, now if any man build upon this foundation, no disputing the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 11, no other foundation. But he says this, some build on that foundation with gold, some build on it with silver, some build on it with precious stones, some build on it with timber, some build on it with hay, and some build on it with stubble. Now, there are several ways of dissecting those six elements. Some folks look at them and put them in groups of two. Gold and silver, precious stones and wood, hay and stubble. Gold and silver, the grouping's kind of obvious. Precious stones and wood, to you and I, may not be quite as obvious because we've got, rows sitting full of wood. But for them, back in the days of if you wanted wood, that's what it meant. It meant get your axe, you didn't just go to Lowe's and get a 2x4. If you owned a piece of wood, it was a real day's work. And so wood was a commodity. And so gold and silver in a group, precious stones of wood, and hay and stubble, they're everywhere. And so you can group them that way, from the precious to the less precious to the common that some build with. Others just simply go down the line, gold, silver, right down the line. Others look and say they're built with gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, stubble. It's important, again, let's go back to context and look what he says in the very next verse. If you go on, he says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. Now, with that statement in mind, let's go back to those six elements. I don't necessarily mean to, but it may help some of us to comprehend a little better. I may have to go back and evoke three little pig theology here. You remember what happens if you build your house out of straw? What happens? Huffs and puffs and blows it down. You build it out of stick. What happens? Build it out of brick. Stands the test of time. Well, let's look at this. In verse 13, he says, the day will show us when it's tested by fire. You built your house out of stubble, out of hay. And you ever seen a bale of hay or a hayloft catch on fire? And you ever seen grass fire? I mean, like if a grass fire were to break out today, as dry as it's been, you know what happens? You ever seen a cedar tree grow up? You know why? You know why they tell you don't have live Christmas trees? I have been standing in the middle of a grass fire before, trying to put it out, not realizing there was an almost dead cedar tree behind me. And when the spark hit the cedar tree, I thought I had then went to meet Jesus. It sounded like a bomb going off. But, I say your house is made out of wood. Burn a little slower, but it'll burn on. Stones, silver, gold. As we move our way up the chain, they're not only more precious, but they're more permanent. Back up to verse 10. Look how verse 10 ends. Paul is talking there as he ends verse 10. He says, let each one take heed how he builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. In other words, he says, the foundation is Jesus Christ. There is no better foundation. There is no other foundation. The problem with the building in America today is not the foundation, folks. The problem is the building. The problem is the structure. The problem is what we are building on top of that foundation. You look, and I'm reminded, some of you may perhaps have been there. If not, I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, the problem is not the building. The problem is the foundation, right? Our problem is not the foundation. Our problem is the building. You have a bad foundation and eventually it'll fall. If you don't build on that foundation, eventually it'll fall. We know the problem is not the foundation. The problem is the structure. Well, here's what happens. If you've got a square foundation and you build an oval building, you may very well get your building built. It may very well stand for a period of time. But if you've got a rectangular foundation, and you build a circular building on that rectangular foundation, what's going to happen eventually? This part over here with no foundation is going to begin to fall. Let me tell you what happens when you don't build on the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid. Before the sunset on Friday, after this, I've heard it described in all kinds of ways. Monumental decision. It will be monumental. Only wait the test of time. It will be monumental. Believe me, it will be monumental. Before the sun had set on Friday, there were already those who were saying that the Supreme Court decision, if it allows for same-sex marriage, then how can you say a man can't marry three women? Or for that matter, if a man can marry another man, why can't he marry four men? Before the sun had set on Friday, that was already being debated. That's what happens when you build on the wrong foundation. The building begins to tip. Before the sun had set on Saturday, by Friday evening, well, if a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, why can't there be polygamists in our society? It's just their religious expression. Before the sun had set on Saturday, if a man can marry a man, or a woman can marry a woman, why can I not marry my 8-year-old boyfriend? Was already being kicked around. Why? Once you get off the foundation, how do you control the direction of the building? Let me tell you, if on Friday, it was if a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. If on Friday, it was if a man can marry a man, why can't a man marry three women? If by Saturday, if it was if a man can marry a man, and why can't a man marry three men? Why can't a man marry his 8-year-old boyfriend or whatever? By tomorrow evening, it'll be why can't I marry my horse? And by Tuesday, it'll be why can't I marry a tree? And by Wednesday, it'll be why can't I marry a hoppy toad? And by Thursday, heaven knows. You build on the foundation, and you don't have those issues. When you build on the foundation, even of the Constitution, regardless of how you interpret it, I think, quite frankly, those men that signed our Constitution, if you listen closely, you'll hear zzz, 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 as they spin in their graves. Not built on the Constitution. It's not built on my opinion. It's not built on the opinion of the Supreme Court or the senators or the congressmen. It's built on the foundation. Why in the world, tell me, if you put down a $1 million foundation, would you sling up a $3 building? That's exactly what we've done in this country. We've got a priceless foundation in the Son of God Himself, and we're slinging up a lousy building. It's not even built out of stubble. It's built out of trash. And one day it'll stand and be judged. I can't do much about this nation, but I can look at my life and ask myself, am I building on the foundation? What am I building with? Am I building with hay and stubble, or am I building with gold and silver and precious stones? I've got to look at my life, every decision, everything I do. I've got to look as a husband. Listen, it's not fair for me to sit and to look and to condemn a decision about marriage from the Supreme Court if I am not being the husband that God's Word says for me to be. It's not fair, it's not right, it's plumb ungodly for me to look around and condemn child pornography and child abuse if I'm not being the father to the children that God gave me, that He described for me to be in His Word. If I'm not building my home on His foundation, then who am I to stand and to say one word about anybody else's? The question we need to ask ourselves is not what is the Supreme Court building with, not what is our president building with, not what are our politicians building with, not what is our what has our nation been built on, but what are we building on and what are we building with? We've got to ask ourselves, what's the structure? Paul told us what the foundation is. There's only one foundation. How are we constructing? How are we building our life from top to bottom? How are we building our life? I told the folks that built my house, I said, I can't build a house, but I know if you do it wrong, then you'll tear it out and do it over. Listen, some of us need to be quite honest and look at our life and tear it out and do it over. Can I tell you this morning, I believe with all my heart, I know in this community, there are pastors this morning, literally within... I won't point. Yeah, I will. I will. Literally within about 2 miles of here. I think. I'm a bad judge of distance. Okay, that's one of them. I wasn't even thinking about that one. There's several. Martin knows one. I know one. There's at least two I know of. That this morning, I will guarantee you, their pastor stood up and lauded the decision. They can paint the White House whatever color they want to. Change it from whatever Pennsylvania Avenue to Rainbow Avenue. But I'll remind you that the rainbow came after the judgment. They have harvested a biblical symbol. I want to tell you something. Some Christians, I believe they're saved. I believe they know Jesus Christ. I believe they're on the right foundation. But they built a lousy building. We need to ask ourselves, you know why? One of the things that happens at every building that's built, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. Archie knows it. Tommy knows it. Kenny knows it. Several of you know it. Eventually, the building inspector comes. Eventually, the inspector shows up. And you can build it however you want to, but eventually, the inspector shows up. Archie tells me there's a building right here in this town right now that has no electricity. Actually, a church building, if I remember correctly, with no electricity because it's not built correctly, because they didn't follow the code. Am I right? Eventually, the inspector comes. You can build it, but eventually, the inspector comes. You don't just have the foundation and the following structure, but eventually, you end up with the Father survey. You build it, but eventually, the Father surveys it. Look what he says happens. Eventually, the day comes when every, you know what the word every means in the Greek? Thank you. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day declares it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every. You know what every means in that place? Now you thought it was a trick, didn't you? So you wasn't as confident that time. Every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work which abides, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. You can build it. Paul says the foundation is laid. You go through this life, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and you build your building. But eventually, the inspector comes. Eventually, he comes and checks it off. And he says he tries it, and he tests it. And if it passes, he shall receive reward. Can I tell you something I believe with all my heart? Sweeter than the streets of gold, more precious than the songs of angels, more beautiful than a heavenly choir, will be to stand before your Father and hear these words, "Well done. Well done." How many of you know that growing up, there was nothing sweeter, nothing more precious than hearing your father or your mother say, "You did good. Good job. I'm proud of you." Most of you are smart enough, you know, that it's not even when you're a child. Even as an adult, we all like to be patted on the head like a puppy and told you did good. Good job. Sweeter than mansions. More precious than seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll be standing before our Father and hearing Him say, "Well done. You built a good house." How horrible to stand before our Father and to hear Him say, "You saved, but you didn't do much. Your life wasn't what it ought to be." See, this morning, we can judge, we can rant and rave, we can condemn about the condition of our nation, the decisions of our courts, the actions of our politicians, or we can get serious about the only thing we can change, and that's the building I'm building. That's the building you're building. The structure you're responsible for. Are you building it out of stubble? Are you building it out of hay? Are you building it out of stone? Are you building it out of gold? If Jesus Christ, and folks, if I didn't believe it before, I believe it now. It's imminent. If Jesus Christ steps out of the eastern skies this morning and calls us home, are you ready to stand before Him? Christians, listen to me, Christians, I'm not asking you, are you saved? I'm not asking you on the foundation. I'm asking you, what have you built on that foundation? What have you done with the life God has given you? What have you done with the opportunities God has afforded you? What have you done with the gifts and the talents, the resources that God has placed at your disposal? The foundation is not the problem. The building is the problem. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here this morning, you've never asked Him into your heart as your personal Savior. Your problem is you're not on the foundation. You're not, what you're building, on sinking sand, to use the words the Bible describes. You ever built a sandcastle at the beach? In the first wave that comes along, what happens to your sandcastle? You spend hours working on it and you're so proud of it. And the first thing you know, somebody throws a frisbee and runs right through the middle of your impenetrable fort. A wave comes crashing in, and it's gone. You're a good person. You're in church this morning. The Bible says you're on sinking sand. One day you're going to stand before God, and He's going to say, "Depart, for I never knew you." If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day. There is no other way. There is no other foundation. None. You don't know Him, you need to come. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christians, you know, it's a shame that there's an empty seat in this building this morning. It's a shame that there's an empty seat in a church in America this morning. It really is. If the things that have happened in the last week in this country have not opened the eyes of God's people, I really am at a loss for what it'll take. But certainly, those of us who are here should be on our face before God saying, "God, heal me. Help me build. Let it begin with me." As we stand together, will you come and kneel? Lord, I need you as my Savior. Lord, I know you as my Savior. Lord, I know you personally. Father, today, I need to look at my life. I need you to look at me and see what's going on in my life. I look at my life and I know I've built with stubble and hay. And Lord, today, I need to do some remodeling. I need to straighten out my life. I've been upset and I've prayed for our nation. I've prayed for our politicians. I've prayed for our judges. God, as the old spiritual goes, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. As God speaks to your heart, will you be open with Him today as we sing together?